This is your source for all the news that matters. Hard-hitting, unbiased, investigative journalism, ready to break...
Sorry, John, that's the wrong copy.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, no, it's not right. Is it under the...
Under the...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's this other sheet. That makes so much more sense. Okay.
Okay, let's go again.
You're listening to a podcast that has Ron Van Dam on it. It's the Ron Van Dam Podcast on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Don't argue with me. Don't argue with me right in front of me. I am Ron Van Dam. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Here we go. Well, thanks for clicking on my face or tuning into this radio station to hear the program. I'm indebted to you for at least half an hour. That's it. Hey, are you chewing gum? Are you chewing gum while I'm doing this show? While I'm sitting here racking my brains to make this entertaining, do you have the nerve to sit there and chew gum in front of my... Get out of here. The nerve. God, have some respect. I've been preparing for this show for at least 45 seconds. Yeah, 45 seconds of my life that I'll never get back. You got the nerve to sit there and chew gum and not even offer me a piece? Went to one of those outdoor restaurants because I don't have the balls to eat inside a restaurant just yet under these the current circumstances. I'll only eat outside now at a restaurant. So I'm sitting at a table, and at the next table there were these two girlfriends, who they don't live together apparently. They sat down and they said, "Hi, how have you been?" So I know they don't live together. And they order cocktails, which is fine. I'm into that, man. They're ordering cocktails, and the server comes over. The female server has these martini glasses, puts them down. When one girl has this chocolate martini, and I must say, looks extremely tasty. By the way, this is how you know if you're an adult or a child. If you're a child, you drink chocolate milk. If you're an adult, you have a chocolate martini. And in both situations, you adore your drink. Remember when you had chocolate milk as a child? It was like, wow, the heavens have opened up. Chocolate milk, oh my God, oh my God. And then you're an adult and you get a chocolate martini. It's like, oh my God, the heavens just opened up. It's wonderful. It's adorable. Anyway, she's sitting there. She takes a sip of her chocolate martini. And her eyes just like, whoa, man, this is the most incredible drink I've ever had. And she says to her friend, "Here, try it." And she gives the glass to her friend, and her friend picks up the glass and has a taste out of the glass. I felt like running over and saying, "Do you people realize there's a pandemic? You don't drink out of the same glass where your lips have touched and you don't even live together? What's wrong with you people?" But I didn't do that because it would have been inappropriate. Anyway, welcome to the program. How are you? How are you feeling, by the way? Good? Me too. Yeah, we're lucky that we feel good. I got to tell you right now, let's keep it that way. Anyway, let's not get into that. I don't want to get into it. I don't. I had an epiphany yesterday. I swear I cannot spell the word epiphany, but I had one. I had a big freaking epiphany. And it was disappointment. It was disappointment. I'll only talk about this for a minute because this is a comedy show, but it was disappointment. And here's what I was, and I know you feel this way too. I know you feel this way. when I was growing up and I was a young adult, and even through most of my adulthood, I felt like there are the most incredibly smart people in this world, on this globe. And even during a pandemia, I think I'm making up that word, pandemia, these incredible scientists and geniuses like Einstein's would come up with the cure and we'd be fine rather shortly. That or in the summer, the virus would go away. And it didn't. I'm disappointed that by now, after over half a year later, we're kind of still in the same boat we were when the damn thing began. And it's not just in this country, but across the whole world. Nobody says, I know how to stop it. Nobody raised their hand and said, hey, I got an idea. I know how to stop this. I know what you can take that'll work. No, but not one person said this. And it's shaken my foundation. It has shaken my foundation off its timbers. I always thought that in this world there was a group of geniuses, think tanks. You're welcome. Think tanks that would come up with the answer for everything. But no, not this time. No. No, nobody raised their hand and said, I know what to do with this. I know how to stop this. Nobody. Nobody. And it's got to be something simple like jujubes, something like that. Something like, hey, did you know that you can't get the virus if you eat apples? No, I didn't know that. It's as simple as that. Nobody came up with that yet. I know that's the answer somewhere. But nobody's coming up with it. So I'm a little bit upset about that. I just thought that with all the billions and billions of people on the planet, one person could have said, well, I know how to get rid of it. All right. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. That's the answer to everything. When things aren't working out and you feel different, maybe it's just me. Maybe there's something wrong with me. Maybe I'm just overreacting. That's yeah. Your parents are in the hospital. You got tubes down. Maybe I'm just overreacting. I don't know. Maybe I'm overreacting. Okay. Let's move on, shall we? This is so dismal. Let's move on. So how are you doing? Have you looked in the mirror today yet? Don't do it. Don't. I've said this so many times before on the show. Don't look in the mirror anymore. Don't. I don't care if you're 20 years old or 60 years old. Your hair is turning gray because you're worrying. Yeah, I know. Don't look in the mirror. You're starting to create lines under your eyes. I don't know if they're crow's feet or whose feet they are, but no, it's not looking good, man. Your skin is starting to model. Yeah, you're starting to get little skin things on your throat. Yeah, I know. You know, you're starting to age quickly. The White House, man. I'm not talking about Trump, but any president in the White House after just 4 years, especially after 8 years, which I hope doesn't happen this time around. But anyway, their hair turns gray. Have you noticed that? And it doesn't matter if they're 40 years old or what, or even 20. Their hair turns gray when they come out of the White House. The only person's hair may not turn gray is Trump, A, because it's probably gray anyway, and B, because he doesn't worry about anything, which sucks, because he should worry. I'm sure he worries, but for some reason he thinks he's impervious. So far, I guess he is. I don't know. Anyway, I don't want to talk. Stop it. Why do you make me talk about him? I'm telling you, I don't know if you care for this show or not, but if there's one person on the entire globe that I cannot stand, I can't look at him, I can't hear him, I'd want to make believe he doesn't exist, it would be the guy in the White House. I don't think I've ever had such a loathing for a human being than I do for that man. But maybe it's just me. Okay. Do you want to learn something on this show? Did you want to walk away saying, I listened to the Ron Van Dam show today, and man, did I learn something. Okay, here you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, please prepare yourselves. It is that time again for Ron's Fact of the Day.
The fact is, this all sucks. Okay, that is your fact. But maybe it's just me. I did want to talk about one thing, and that is political ad time. I have had it up to here. This is radio, you can't see. My hand is above my head, and I've had it up to here. That was a visual. You'll never be able to see it. I just described it. I've had it up to here with the political ad. I am getting phone calls now. I'm getting phone calls any time during the day. They just call my house. I don't know how they got my number, to be honest with you. And they know my name. That's so scary when somebody you don't know calls you up and says, Ron, Mr. Van Dam, why are you calling me at home? What, you know this is where I live? Why would you bother me? Why would you bother me? My grandmother could be lying on her deathbed, telling me her last words, and you give me a phone call? Who do you think you are? I'm at home. I'm in my sanctuary. You're not supposed to invade my sanctuary with a stupid phone call. Who are you? They're with a campaign. They're with the Bobby Rydell campaign. They're with the Ilya Kazan campaign. The primary's coming up. We'd like you to vote for Ilya Kazan. She's a scientist, and she's worked in the community for years. Will you vote for her? Oh, well, now I will. Now that you called me in the middle of my dinner, my grandmother's dying on her bed, but that can be put on hold. Ilya Kazan, I've never heard of her. She's running for office? You bet I'll vote for her. Wow, I was just waiting for this call to come through to confirm that someone said her name. Well, my natural reaction to those phone calls, if I were to engage them, was I don't know who this person is. I don't know what he or she, I don't even know if it's a man or a woman. I don't even know what they stand for, what their views are, and you're asking me to vote for them? What do you think, I'm stupid? And then I realized, yes, you do. You do. You do. You think because you hold a sign on a street corner when I'm driving by, that holding a sign that I'm going to look at the sign and go, oh my God, I've got to vote for the person on the sign. This person is on a sign. Their name's on a sign and someone's holding the sign. I must vote for this person now. I don't care what their views are, whether they want death to America. They're on a sign. Is that what you want me to think? Is that what you're doing? Is that how you educate me with your fact of the day? You hold up a sign. Oh my God. Look, the person's holding up a sign. Yeah, that's what you think, I believe. Ay, 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 ay. And you know why? It angers me. It angers me, this political season thing with the signs and the phone calls and the convincing me to do something. Don't convince me. You have no right to convince me. Here's what I do. Thank God for early voting. It's so wonderful. Not that you even have to do early voting. All you have to do is just say that you did it. Lie to them. You don't know these people. They don't deserve your honesty. God, they don't deserve your honesty. If someone calls you up and says, I ask who you're voting for, or I want to tell you about Ilya Kazan, all you have to do, this simple little sentence, it takes 2 seconds and it's over. And what you say is, I already did early voting. And they they're out of there, man. They're off to the next phone call. They don't even say thank you. They'll just hang up or, okay, you know, that's it's over. You can get back to the deathbed of your dying grandmother real quick or back to dinner, whichever is more important at this point. That's incredible. Thank you, Ron, for that fact of the day. Just say you already voted early. Or you could also lie, and I'm going to say a little curse word, have the kids get out of the room. But if you say the curse word over the phone, that works too. You can say whatever you want on the phone in your house or on your cell phone, whatever you have. And if it's a presidential thing, they know you haven't early voted just yet. And they say, are you going to be voting for Trump? You just say, I don't give a shit, and hang up the phone and swear you're off the list. You're off the list. It's real. They're so simple answers to everything. It's really not very difficult to figure out. Yeah, I have one of those call blocker things. It's got a big red button on it. And I think it's called a call blocker. I don't know. 911 call blocker or something. I have no idea what it is. Something like that. And when a phone call comes in and you don't want to answer it, rather than picking up the phone, you're supposed to hit this red button. And then I learned telemarketers have like 25 phone numbers for the same thing. So that doesn't really work. You know what the answer is basically to everything that you encounter in your daily life? I thought that worked, but it really doesn't. Yeah, always, always. Everything you do, everything you try. Oh, I was hoping that would work, but it doesn't. Yeah, the do not call list, do not bother. They call anyway. And they say, when you look it up on the crazy internet machine, The goggle, is that how you pronounce it? Am I saying it wrong now? It says on the machine, the do not call .gov or something like that. And if someone calls and they shouldn't, report it to the government. Oh, okay, they're right on it now. That doesn't work. What? No, nothing works. Nothing works anymore. When I was growing up, everything worked. Everything worked. My response to everything when I was growing up was, whoa, that's cool. Now, I try everything that's, well, that didn't work. So maybe it's just me. I don't know. What's going on, man? I have an interesting guest coming up on today's show. I don't know who you are. I don't know if you have kids or not. But if you have kids, the hell were you thinking? If you have kids, you probably have sitting problems. Not that you can't sit. That would be truck drivers with hemorrhoids. I'm talking about babysitting, child sitting on a child. When I heard the term babysitting at first, I thought that's awful. They should be arrested. You should not be sitting on babies. Most of them probably won't survive, especially if you're fat. You can't sit on a baby. Why would you do that? Is that like a college thing? Is that a college fad now? Hey, let's get some beers together and get some babies and we'll sit on them. That'll be fun. Then I found out that's not what babysitting is. Why did they? It should be baby watching or child watching. What's the sitting stuff? Sitting on them? What? Where? Who came up with that phrase? No. Child rearing? That sounds pornographically disgusting. I don't know where we get our terms from sometimes. I don't know. Doesn't make any sense. Anyway, wouldn't it be great if there was a company where, what if you have to go back to work and your child is being homeschooled? I mean, what do you do? You need someone to sit on your child is what you need. What if you could go through just an agency and make sure that anybody that watches your child is bonded, secured, checked out, all that kind of stuff, doesn't have a police record? You know, that's important because parents are just like really, really concerned that like their child shouldn't be with people they shouldn't be with. Well, obviously not. So I come across this, and we're going to speak to the person that runs this this child watching service. You know, whenever you, I'm just making an observation here. Whenever you talk about children, you gotta be so careful because people are rather sensitive about that subject. They seem to be rather sensitive. You know, it's true. When I'm watching a movie, I've said this before. When I used to go to a movie theater, or I'm watching a movie on television. And there's a child in danger, I won't watch it. Same with if there's an animal in danger. It doesn't even have to be a puppy. Any animal, a little bear, anything, you know, a chipmunk, anything. I can't watch the nature shows when, you know, they prey upon each other, the animal kingdom. What a aggressive kingdom that is. I can't watch it. I can't watch an animal being harmed or a child in danger. People in danger? You know, whatever. But children in danger and animals in danger, I can't. I just turn it off. I mean, like, why are you making me watch this? Why? I know it happens. Why does it have to be drilled into my head that horrible things happen? Why? That's entertainment to you? That's entertainment? All right. Maybe it's just me. Let's speak to our guest. Elizabeth Harsh joins us now. She's CEO of Sitter City. Huh. This is interesting. They are child care consultants. They get involved in perhaps solving some problems that people are having these days. Most parents don't know, even as we speak now, if their child is going to be going to school or not, and that snowballs into, well, like, what do I do when I got to go to work? Actually, this has been an ongoing problem for quite some time now, not only during a pandemic.
Exactly, Ron. I mean, no surprise to you or your listeners, child care has always been stressful and figuring out the network of solutions to take care of your children and be able to get to work or take care of your life has always been hard, but the pandemic has really just taken this to new levels. And I think primarily you hit the nail on the head talking about uncertainty. It is very difficult to stitch together solutions when you're not even sure if your child will be in person in school or 100% home or some mix of that. So the uncertainty is really significant for parents. And I would also say, regardless of what the solution is for them, schedules are very different and don't really line up. You know, if you have multiple children, like I have two kids, you have different drop-offs and pickups, and it's more complicated than it used to be, which I think most of us didn't think was possible.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, it's a tough situation, so you make the best of it. But here's a situation where you don't know what it's going to be tomorrow. And even if your kids are going to school and you plan your life accordingly for the school year, that can change like in one day if something happens in that school and they have to shut it down. All of a sudden, there you are at square one with just hours' notice. And I think that's the foundation that parents don't feel that they have.
That's right. I think it's one thing when you are able to plan for a specific schedule, but the lack of clarity there is challenging. I think it's been very interesting on our platform, Sitter City, to see the surge of requests for learning support, for flexibility and partnership with caregivers who can help parents navigate this time and understand that things may change in a moment as well.
Correct. I think I'm a little older than you. I don't know, but the amount of helicopter parenting I think has increased where a lot of parents, child care is, that's not good enough. I have to check this out. I've got to know them. They've got, I mean, I want background. No one's spending a second with my child in any situation unless I have. I mean, it seems to be a little bit more intense these days. Parents are not as willing to give up their children to a location and not knowing enough about it.
Yes, and at Sitter City, we work very closely with parents to help them hire with confidence. Mm-hmm. What is great is there are a number of technology tools to help parents in that process, from background checks to digital reference checks. You know, just checking references mm-hmm. can be very difficult for parents.
Yes.
Because they're working, they're very busy, the people they're trying to check references sure. with are very busy. So now we've brought corporate level tools Good. To the private sector to help parents check references very quickly. At the end of the day, parents still need to interview people who are going to spend time with their mm-hmm. kids and make the right decision for their family. But there are a lot of tools to mm-hmm. help in that process. Mm-hmm.
Now, how does this work exactly? Let's go through the scenario. A parent is looking for aid in this area. What do they do? Where do they go? What happens? What's the process?
Yes, first I would recommend that parents go to sittercity.com/back-to-school. We've amalgamated a host of content all for free just to help parents navigate this really difficult time. Our mission is always to make childcare work, but that's incredibly, you know, it's even more important during this time. And so that's a great place for parents to start to help think through all of their options, including going through the interviewing process and special considerations during COVID. But essentially, on our platform, what parents do is they post a job and they articulate what their needs are. Mm-hmm. We're seeing, you know, last year about two-thirds of our jobs were occasional babysitting, date nights, fitting things in here and there. This year, we're seeing two-thirds of our jobs for long-term care mm-hmm. and parents looking for partners to build a team throughout the entire school year. So parents can go to the platform, post a job articulating their needs, and then caregivers apply to those jobs and parents can find the right person for their situation. As you mentioned, some parents are creating these learning pods and are looking for, you know, more like teachers and tutors and caregivers with educational background, which we are seeing a huge influx of sitters and caregivers with educational experience, teachers, tutors, coaches coming to the platform every month. So there's a lot of parents who need help, but there are also a lot of caregivers that are flocking to the platform to help solve those problems.
Good. And I assume that you're actually helping the employment thing here, because there are very qualified people who can do this task and they're looking for work. So you're kind of marrying people here.
Exactly. We feel very, very fortunate during this unprecedented time to be able to help both sides, mm-hmm. Help kids get assistance with their remote learning and and spend quality time with some adults outside of their
Good.
Immediate family, help parents be able to get to work, and also help lots of people who are out of work get work through the platform.
Very good. All right. The platform, well, the place to go is Sitter City, Sitter City.com /back-to-school. Or just go to sittercity.com, you know, for any one of those services. Yeah. It's a great idea. It's putting parents at ease that this is a safe thing to do. And I mean, I assume there's some cost to it, but certainly, fortunately, people who are doing this usually are going to jobs, so they have some income and can do this. So it kind of works out.
Yeah, the great thing about Sitter City is we don't dictate the economic terms uh-huh. between the family and the sitter. That's really dependent on the family and the sitter to negotiate directly. We are a marketplace or platform to help families find sitters and sitters find jobs.
Good. Good. Excellent. Excellent deal. People need you right now. There's no question about that. And, you know, it's interesting when this is all said and done, people are going to get used to this and not the virus thing, but they're going to get used to using sitters and to getting sitters in here a little bit more and let the parents go out even for an evening or something like that. Whereas right now they might be a little nervous about it. Yeah. Very good.
That's really what we focus on. I think, you know, many of us know how easy it is to order groceries through an app or find a vacation home to rent through an app. But for many parents, their biggest challenge, whether that's help with remote learning or just getting out on a Saturday night once in a while, you know, technology can help solve those problems as well.
It's called retaining your sanity. SitterCity.com.
Exactly.
SitterCity.com is a place to go. Elizabeth Harris, thank you so much for your time today. Well, there you have it for today. You have been wonderful as usual. I'm very impressed by your ability to sit there and shut up. I really am. But the show's over. It's time for you to go off and do what you do, whatever that is. Do it well. Even if it's sleeping, sleep well. I love that, you know, sleep well. Okay. I hope I sleep well too. What are you talking about? Sleep well. I fall asleep and I get up. What do you mean sleep well? What? Yeah. I'll make it a point to sleep well this time. What are you talking about? All right. I'll be back again tomorrow on Tuesday with a brand new show. Oh, I can't wait. Until then, I wish you peace.